time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
I continue to maintain this is the single dumbest thing in sports.
Pete Thamel.
The emperor had no clothes, nor did many of the people he was calling. So.
With SI's Pat Forty.
This is the one ranking that really matters, was Cincinnati. For them to be outside the top four,
here's Pat, Pete, and Dan.
I welcome the pod. We're going to get to the stripper and the monkey. Don't worry. We're going to get to the stripper and the monkey.
Yes, we are.
We'll probably throw in some Hugh Freeze and the escort services just because he's making a return trip to Ole Miss. So this it's going to be dicey on the PG, PG-13, who knows? Who knows where this is going? It's not us. We just react to the news. Just react to the news. But we will get to the stripper and the monkey. First, the College Football Invitational is out with its little rankings. I continue to maintain this is the single dumbest thing in sports. It is a sport that self-sabotages itself by making everyone angry. It is a sport that hauls 13 people to Dallas every week so they can be mocked and humiliated, called all sorts of names.
People who are relatively successful in their walks of life and, become
pinatas. It is a sport that undermines its own credibility. It's why people don't like this thing.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with the idea of the weekly show and yet continues it has no freaking idea what they're doing. This was the playoff made by people who have no idea what a playoff should be. They're like, you know what we need? People angry. You know, no one is ever angry at how the NFL playoff is set because it's just set. Yet it's the most popular sport in the country. This is stupid, but we're going to do it. Georgia 1, Bama 2, Michigan State 3, Oregon Ducks 4, Ohio State 5, Cincinnati 6. You got Michigan 7 over Oklahoma and Wake Forest. Notre Dame is 10. Oklahoma State, Baylor are 11 and 12. They still have an outside path, perhaps. I don't know. Auburn at 13 has games against Alabama and Georgia conceivably remaining. Could they come all the way from 13 to jump Cincinnati? I don't know. After that, I think we're done. Where the hell is Texas, San Antonio? Anyway.
Yeah.
Pat, your thoughts.
I have thoughts.
I bet you do.
I'm going to start with seven words that just came back like it was yesterday when I was hearing them before, the exact same seven words last year from Gary Barta. The committee has tremendous respect for Cincinnati. He didn't mean it last year. He doesn't mean it this year. The committee has no respect for Cincinnati. Just because you say it doesn't make it true. In fact, it makes it insulting because the rankings make it very clear that you have no respect for Cincinnati. It doesn't matter what they do. They'll find people to put in front of them. They did it this time. Cincinnati, yes, you did beat Notre Dame. Congratulations. But you kind of messed around with Navy and then a little bit with Tulane there. So we got to drop you behind Oregon and behind Ohio State. Oregon, by the way, which lost to 3-5 Stanford. We got to put you behind Alabama, which lost to a 2-loss Texas A&M team. So this tremendous respect is a pile of caca, just as it was last year. They'll find other people to shift in front of Cincinnati. Why it matters a lot where they are this week. This is the one ranking that really matters, was Cincinnati. For them to be outside the top four now, when their strength of schedule is probably going to slide further behind other people, is really bad news for them. Now they need help. They can't control their own destiny, in my opinion. They've got nobody else ranked in the top 25 that they are playing. That may change. SMU or Houston may get in there, but they're going to be at the nether reaches of this thing if they do. It's all set up for the committee to do to Cincinnati just what they did last year. Find other people to put in front of them while the Bearcats do what they have to do, win all their games. Good job.
I am shocked that this happened. I am just stunned. Who could have possibly seen this coming? I mean, it is just mind-blowing that Cincinnati got screwed in the same exact way that they got screwed the year before, using the same rhetoric and surrounded by the same biases that have kept them down. The worst news for Cincinnati wasn't that they were ranked sixth, because that was not surprising. The worst news is that committee set them up to not even have a chance or a prayer to get any higher. I think we've all watched SMU at some point this season, 7-1 SMU. They are a good football team. All right. They lost in overtime, I believe, or they were about to go to overtime, and then there was a kick return that they gave for a touchdown against 7-1 Houston. SMU play Houston and not come away with it thinking one of those teams should not be ranked. Now, I know Houston lost to Texas Tech, but as losses go, and we count losses as something, that's not a terrible loss. So I just really, the most dispiriting part for me, and all we're rooting for is a good story, right? Cincinnati is a good story. It's interesting. Cincinnati is Butler. Cincinnati is Boise in football. Cincinnati's Butler in basketball. They're VCU. They're George Mason. They are something to break this sport out of a rut that is so drudgerous and predictable that they actually are changing the system because the rut's so bad. Well, who's enabling the system? You know, the same stiff drone, they like pull the string on the back of his, he says, we respect Team X. Team X is very respected. Light criticism of Team X. It's like college football playoff, Mad Libs. It's like empty compliment, light criticism, move on. It's the college sports way.
Listen, Cincinnati is in the friend zone. The committee put Cincinnati in the friend zone. They're never going to date him. Never happening. All five of their boyfriends ahead of them can all die.
He's like my brother.
The limp. And they'll find five new ones. It ain't ever happening for Cincinnati. When they say, we have great respect... That means, yeah, it's not you, it's me.
Got a great personality.
Great personality. Mm-hmm. You got no shot, Cincinnati. You're in the friend zone. The committee is there. Same as coach AD's giving a vote of confidence to a coach. You're done. You got no shot. This is how I would have done it. This is the most politically – this committee – they get these committee members on there and they actually think they're on a committee and they're not. They're really not. They're just pawns to get batted around so a couple more people will watch ESPN on Tuesday night. Again, most of the criticism of this committee, the credibility of the committee would be so much higher if they just did this once. But they had to come up with this to undermine themselves. They should have put Cincinnati at four only because the other teams that could have played in would have bounced them out, and that would have been fine. Or they at least could have put them five. I don't know. They should have put Michigan State at two so it didn't look like they're just throwing, you know, should have put Michigan State at two. Michigan State will either play its way to number two or it'll not. It was a very safe second choice. But instead, they put Alabama at two. And everyone's all upset. It doesn't even matter if Alabama loses. They just set themselves up for these hacks at the base of the tree. It's just chop, 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 chop. And by the end, nothing makes any sense. And they say, well, you can't have a loss. Well, oops, that doesn't work. That their analytics, Cincinnati can never overcome the analytics because the bottom of the American is going to be more punishing on the analytics than the bottom of any Power Five conference because they can't afford to buy. You have one win team in there. You got a two win team. There's even the ACC doesn't have many good teams, right? They all have three wins. And so when you do this numbers thing, Cincinnati can never overcome this. They never will be able to. They don't respect them. Barta said they hadn't beaten anybody but Notre Dame. Well, it's a double-digit win on the road against the top number 10 team. Luke Fickell responded, who's the chairman? Did he play football? So we're already getting into that. can't analyze this
Luke
unless you...
Luke Fickell response in the history of Luke Fickell.
Did you play the game? So now the committee is fighting with one of the popular coaches. This is so dumb. Please. Please, I ask these people. I mean, I don't – there are people who are in the Big 12 who think, a 4-team playoff is better for their chances than a 12-team playoff. So there is a lot of stupid people in college sports. Like, stop with this ranking system. It's stupid. It does is kill your credibility. You want to know why so many people are angry with you? I don't even care if Cincinnati's sixth or fourth or second. I really don't. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter where any of these teams are ranked. Cincinnati very well will lose the rest of the way, and it'll all be moot. But they set themselves up for weeks. Just, this is so dumb. It's good for us, I guess. We can yell about it, but.
See, that's you are missing the point. It's good for us.
Good for us, but I don't know how much outrage I can have. I don't know. Ohio State was going to jump them anyway. They're all going to jump them. They're all going to.
No. Ohio State's already jumped them whether they deserve it
They'll
or not.
They'll put Notre Dame in ahead of them. No, they probably not because they don't really like Notre Dame. I don't know, though. You watch, man. Oklahoma. You haven't played anyone. That's, you're eight. Ha, ha, ha. Okay, they're going to play number 11 and number 12, and they're probably going to play three games against those two teams. Are they then good enough to jump Cincinnati? They will be. Yep.
No, Oklahoma. Look, I give the committee credit for that. They put Oklahoma where they should have, as we've been saying on this podcast for weeks. You know, that the rankings were absolutely ridiculous, how much they had overrated Oklahoma. Well, they saw through that, thankfully. But, yeah, the path is there then for Oklahoma to pile up these late season wins. And then all of a sudden, Cincinnati's resume won't be as good as theirs either. They'll just keep finding other people to put up there. It's a sham. It's a setup. It's a sucker play. And they got us. And, yeah, yet again, it's a situation where the committee for the purpose of Tuesday night ratings of all things for an hour for ESPN, the committee has to just get bludgeoned about the head and shoulders for doing this for 5 weeks in a row.
One of the good things about such blatant bias is it brings good outrage, and we like a good outrage, bluster on this podcast. And so in equally predictable fashion, Mike Oresko, the feisty commissioner of the American Athletic Conference, who knows a thing or two about his league getting screwed because he's experienced it year after year after year after year, gave some good quotes to Yahoo tonight. He said, "I'm not going to say it's rigged. What I'm going to say is that a team from our conference did not have a fair shot." And then he went on to say what I thought was a very telling and compelling quote. Basically looked at the notion of, to me, it's a much bigger deal that Houston and SMU both did not get ranked as opposed to Cincinnati. Because now they don't even have an argument. They have found their ceiling at six. Like, chaos would have to happen above them and behind them for them to significantly move up. And Oresko said, quote, "It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. The committee doesn't rank our teams that deserve to be ranked. Then they turn around and say they don't play any ranked teams." And it's the perfect logical circle to sum up basically the quandary that Cincinnati is going to be facing until the rankings end. I think Cincinnati is going to finish undefeated. I think Cincinnati is an excellent team that should right now be considered one of the top four in the sport. But there is no chance that's going to happen. Like, it's been deflated and gone tonight.
No, this was a really bad night for Cincinnati just for that reason, because they had to start in the top four, and it really would have also helped if SMU and or Houston were ranked. And so now, like, the setup is completely in. Now Cincinnati's only chance is to have some unforeseeable losses for some people. You know, to have Penn State muck up the Big Ten East against Michigan State or Michigan, to have somebody else beat Ohio State, to, you know, Auburn win the Iron Bowl. I mean, they need a bunch of help now that seems very unlikely to get. If this thing plays out anywhere even close to chalk, Pete, for the next 4 weeks, then school's out for Cincinnati.
So let's jump around here, Pat, to these rankings, because I think it's pretty interesting. There was one thing I really disagreed with Kirk Herbstreit about. He basically said if Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC title game, we assume happens, although I'm certainly not going to close Auburn out of the SEC West race. But if Alabama loses to Georgia in Atlanta and it's a close game, could Alabama end up ranked in the top four? Now, I had said very early on that we needed to at least leave a window open, a door ajar, for two-loss Alabama to end up this. Now, Alabama getting wedged in at two, which I think was too high, certainly I think creases that door open a little bit more. Pat, do you think two-loss Bama is a thing?
I said that in what I wrote for Sports Illustrated and our reactions to it, that Alabama now has a puncher's chance to be the first two-loss team to get in, because starting there And if you win out and then you will have beaten Auburn, you will have added a quality win over Auburn to wins over Mississippi, Mississippi State, who clearly the committee likes. Your loss will be to Texas A&M. And while that's not as good a loss as some other teams have, they're willing to clearly excuse that. I mean, I thought they were too high at number two. But now, sure, if you get into the game against mighty Georgia, which is undefeated, and you do what Alabama's done to Georgia, which is drive them crazy, and you lose the game by on a field goal, and you're sitting there at 11-2, yeah, I think that there's going to be some people that will have some sentiment for Alabama to stay in there. Because if they stay 1-2 the whole time, especially if there's churn underneath them, I think yeah, there's a chance that that happens.
Yeah, and I really think that when we look at Bama and in the finishing kick they have right now, they're obviously essentially tied for the SEC lead with Auburn right now. They're both at one loss. Auburn only has three league wins. Alabama going to Auburn, who could be ranked as high as like eighth at that point. So you got a road top 10, a potential top 10 road game to end the season. All of a sudden, they could be number two with a bullet. I just think that credit Auburn, right? I mean, their only loss out of league came obviously at Penn State in a heck of a college football game, right? They've won at Tiger Stadium, ending Ed Orgeron's tenure essentially. Their only league loss is to Georgia, and Georgia went to Auburn and thumped them. But like all of a sudden, Auburn could really be shaping up to be some sort of factor, some sort of saboteur, some sort of enabler in this whole system. I give Brian Harsin credit. I don't think when we saw Auburn in glimpses early this season, we thought we'd be discussing them as someone who could be factoring into the title race. Now, Auburn itself could not get there with two losses. Be clear about that. But, well, could it? If it wins the West, yeah. And I mean,
I don't think I mean, maybe I don't know. I mean, that's a long way to go from 13-4. I mean, it's happened before. Yeah. We've had teams come from further back than that.
They could definitely pass Cincinnati. So. We know that.
Yes. Everyone gets a chance to pass Cincinnati. You know, I still think it's possible that USC passes Cincinnati eventually. No, yeah, look, if Auburn, if you close the season by beating Alabama and then beating Georgia in Atlanta, mm-hmm. That's pretty strong, and you end up at 11-2, you might have the same puncher's chance that Alabama would at 11-2, but it's a lot harder doing it from 13th than from doing it in second. Here's the question for you, Pete. Wake Forest, any path for the Demon Deacons that you see at this point?
They play as many ranked teams remaining, I believe, as Cincinnati does. So I think this is a great moment for Dave Clawson and the Deacs, and they should celebrate their status. But I just don't see a way for them. They obviously, Pitt is ranked, right? So they could end up playing Pitt in the ACC title game. NC State is ranked, right, Pat?
Yes.
They snuck in there. So there are some opportunities for incremental Deacon nudges, but I was most curious actually where Oklahoma and Wake Forest would be outside of Cincinnati, right? Because they're undefeated Power 5 teams, decent wins, but not that. I actually think you could make a pretty good argument that Wake Forest should have been ahead of Oklahoma in a lot of ways.
At least they've been impressive on occasion, you know?
Correct. They have been impressive on occasion. So. That is a good way to put it. So,
all right, enough of this nonsense. Who cares? It'll sort itself out. It'll sort itself out. Great respect. I have great respect for Danielle Thomas. That's who I have great respect for.
Tell
anybody
us
anybody who can make it to the Jerry Springer show and be known as the pole assassin. That is someone who's at the top of her craft.
Jerry.
This is a no Bronco Nagurski award or whatever gets handed out. Danielle Thomas.
They might have an award, though. I'd be interested.
Yeah, they should have. They probably have awards.
Call it the Curious George Award.
I don't know. Danielle Thomas is the girlfriend of University of Texas tight end coach and special teams coordinator Jeff Banks. She has a history as an exotic dancer, if you will. I don't know how you want to refer to it. I have no problem with the profession. It's legal. A lot of eschewing of this. During her run as an exotic dancer, she was so good at working the equipment at the gentleman's club that she earned the nickname Pole Assassin.
Maybe the greatest nickname in the history of her profession. I mean, come on.
They like put it up on the billboard outside with like Pole Assassin will be here Tuesday night. Anyway, the Pole Assassin is now dating guy Jeff Banks, who played football at Wazoo under Mike Price, who knows a thing or two about the Pole Assassins and what they can do to you. They assassinate your Alabama job is what they do. It's rolling, baby. Anyway, trick-or-treating came along. You know, it was Halloween on Sunday night, and Danielle Thomas tried to be a good neighbor down there in Austin, sent out a little thing saying that she was going to have a little party at the house, outdoor party, where she could, you know, kids could come and look at the maze around their house, and it was kind of a haunted house, and then it'd be a traditional party for adults, I guess. I don't know what that was all about, but you bring your kids over, and they're going to be some things are happening over at the house. And I mean, who doesn't like a haunted house and a maze? So apparently some people went over, and one of the kids, it's a little confusing. Although Danielle Thomas did kind of admit there was an incident. He got towards the back of the house and got near some cages, apparently, and was bit by the Pole Assassin's support monkey.
Yes. Please note, emotional support monkey. Yes. Not just
emotional support monkey. So
not just a pet monkey, but an emotional support
monkey. The first time in the history of the English language, the words Pole Assassin emotional support monkey were said in a row.
Do you think that the monkey like hung out with Flirty the Horse, our old friend from the emotional support air flights that used to be a running bit on our podcast?
Sure. I think there's probably, you know what, the emotional support animals probably have a Slack channel where they can all get together and discuss their craft.
So the you know, it's a little sketchy. Was there how injured was this child? A monkey bite, I would think would be not, that would be significant.
Yeah.
I've never been bitten by a monkey. I don't want to know what it feels like. I don't want to find out. The Pole Assassin decided to blame the kid for getting back there. You're supposed to know better. There was numerous tweets. There was a video to defend herself. But then she deleted her Twitter account. There's a lot going on.
But we kept the video, baby. We kept hold of it.
Can we play the video? Do we have the video? All right, play the audio of this and see if Danielle Thomas, the Pole Assassin, is fair on this. Maybe we'll people's court this. Who's at fault? Who's at fault? Let's listen to the first witness.
This is sad that people have to go all out of the way to prove that a person is lying. Here's the gate. Here's where all the haunted house action happened. And yes, I do clean up fast. The shit's gone. Here's the gate that every child and parent was told to turn around at when they got to. It was closed and blocked off with balloons. This is how far the kid went in my backyard without permission, all the way over here to where my animals live. And watch this. I don't even play when it comes to my animals, and I know all the legal rules on them. Do not enter emotional support animal, no touching. How can she viciously bite someone if they don't stick their hand in there where it don't belong? This is her home and her home only. It's already clear as day on the gate. Don't touch. No one's allowed back here without my permission.
Yeah. That's it.
So the great thing that the video did, the video set us all free to talk about this because the video basically confirmed that something happened. At first, this was some murky Twitter rumor, you know, that some people were saying definitely happened, and it was some vicious monkey bite. They had to pry the jaws off the kid. That may be true, but it may not be. But thank you, Danny, for posting the video and in the process of trying to say nothing happened, saying that something happened and that the monkey did indeed bite a kid. And yes, it may well have been the kid's fault, but thank you. You brought it public. You confirmed that there was something there. Now we got a podcast.
I'm no lawyer, but I wouldn't have advised my client to post anything.
You have the right to remain silent. She did not.
It was beautiful.
Justice Pete, who's at fault here? Who's at fault? Is it the monkey? Is it the owner of the monkey? Is it the kid who stuck his arm in there to see if that was a real monkey.
So we've run into a lot of like really terrible public relations decisions in our careers, right? Like really bad public relations decisions. Like the NCAA is really like a running gag of bad public relations decisions. We've talked about that, ongoing here. And you can just look at some of this, the just really terrible decisions that are made at front facing at some of these universities. I don't know if I've ever seen a more disastrous self-induced gaslighting the situation more than Danny Thomas. So whatever the legalities in the state of Texas are around monkey bitings, and I've not looked up the proper codes for those.
I can't believe you haven't looked
them up. I have not looked them up. I'm too busy watching Cincinnati get handed another bad hand. I will say that I don't know if I've ever seen a single decision just more comically bad than the one she made. Like, I'd almost feel bad for her, except somewhere in her mind, she thought that was really a bright idea.
Pete, did you really think that the pole assassin is like a crisis management mind? Like, what exactly did you expect? I understand when you're like, you know what, this AD should be smarter than to do this, or the NCAA should be smarter than to do this, or the playoff committee should be smarter than to do this. That's fine. These are this is the pole assassin.
Her legal counsel is telling her to press the kicking game for there the breaks are made, yeah. You know, not telling her not to post anything.
Her previous claim to fame was the Jerry Springer show.
Boyfriend's career.
Yes, which is also really never a good PR move.
Yeah.
I don't think she cares.
She's going to have her say.
Why do you need an emotional support monkey?
Well, if Justice 40 can weigh in here.
Okay, go ahead.
I throw the book at everyone. Everyone gets life in prison. Everyone. They all get life in prison.
Including the monkey?
Yes, including the monkey.
He was already in a cage.
Ill-tempered.
It's already locked up.
Poorly behaved. No. So, look, start with the pole assassin. Yes, criminally dumb handling of the situation. Potentially torches her husband's $1 million-a-year job. And the fact is you do have monkeys in your possession, and you call them emotional support monkeys, which you know is a pet peeve of mine. There's no such thing. I hated the horse. I hate all the dogs on the planes. I hate the cats. I sure as hell hate the capuchin monkeys that are on the planes, too. So she's out. The monkey's out for being an emotional support fraud and for biting somebody and having a bad temper. And the kid is out for being criminally stupid. Right? Like, the kid actually did deserve it. So, you know.
No one wins.
The emotional support monkey is going to need its own emotional support animal after being downwind of that bad 40 diatribe. And the 12-year-old, the poor curious 12-year-old. If you're 12 and there's a monkey in your neighborhood, you are going to ignore all rules and go try to see the monkey. All right?
I think the kid gets a little bit. Go ahead.
Can you imagine them? The Texas football coach and his former stripper girlfriend live next door and have a stripper monkey. Like, that's like the wildest preteen imagination fever dream possible. You are not going to like obey the signs and the rules and the sign that says emotional support monkey, do not enter.
No, you may not. But then you know what? There are consequences, and it's called having the monkey clamp its jaws onto you, perhaps with rabies.
Balloons blocking, like that's going to stop a kid? Like, that's some sort of...
This is my thing with the kid. If you invite people over to a haunted house, you're expected to, like, don't go in here, you'll die, right? All right, go through the... You're expected to, like, look around, right? It says, don't enter, you enter, because it's a haunted house.
Ah, my
y'all are too soft on the kid.
My sneaky favorite
paid a price.
My sneaky favorite part of the video is when she compliments her cleaning ability.
Yeah.
I clean
Will
up
this
fast.
Help recruiting?
Clean up fast.
Will this help recruiting? Because it all goes back to recruiting.
In that case, yeah, you know, well, yes, I think it probably might. There was certainly more curiosity now about the special teams coordinator. And you know, there might be some entertainment at his house that the recruits would like to at least find out what's going on.
I don't know how. How does this come up?
But here's the other part of it. Like, the monkey is not just an emotional support monkey. It's part of the act, right? It was part of her act when she was an entertainer. So what exactly did the monkey do? And does that actually help? Like, you know, does that drum up business? Hey, let's go see the monkey. I mean, do people, like, want to see that as part of an act?
You know, there's a lot of different tastes out there, Pat. I don't think you want to overturn that rock.
Okay.
I don't know what's out there, but maybe.
If they throw in a free breakfast buffet and I get to see a monkey too, like, yeah, maybe.
Says the Saab pole assassin's back in town. You should bring your monkey.
Is the cover charge less if she doesn't bring the monkey than if she does?
I know. Yeah, there's some weird people, man. Everyone's got a thing. I don't know.
Does the monkey climb the pole too or not? Do we know?
I would imagine they would be pretty good at it.
Well, yeah, I would think so. Do not want the monkey in the breakfast buffet, Sully.
No.
Anyway, you go Texas. Did he do the horns down? Did the kid do a horns down at the monkey to cause the biting? Would that change your feeling? We have no evidence. I'm just throwing out conspiracies.
I need that backyard video because you know they got cameras all around that nice house. It's going to surface.
So, yeah.
Kid's going horns down with the monkey and he freaks out.
Monkey.
Yeah. Then the kid also gets flagged by the Big 12 office 15 yards.
He will have to sit out next Halloween, the first 15 minutes.
Sit out next Halloween.
For doing the horns down and getting bit
Texas
by a monkey.
After Texas ditched him, they stopped penalizing that.
I don't. Yeah, maybe not. It should be allowed. Should be allowed. See? Now.
I have two more questions then. Now.
Okay.
Well, this is the best topic we've ever had. I mean, let's be honest. The amount of interaction and engagement I got Monday night from people on Twitter who listen to the podcast for this was far outstripped anything we've ever been flagged on before.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
This is wheelhouse for our people.
Outstripped, Pat. Outstripped.
Indeed, yes. So my two questions, yes, does this accentuate Texas's SEC resume as full-blown SEC? But then secondly, what's going to be the reaction in Tapwater City in Ames when Texas comes to town Saturday?
It better be good.
Ooh,
I'll say that.
That's good. We have a lot of listeners in the city of Ames, and we expect some pretty good shenanigans to be added to us on Saturday from that game. Is it a night game in Ames? I don't know.
I don't know, but I said that I thought that there would be an absolute eruption in monkey costume sales in the greater Ames area between now and Saturday.
What I really love about the Pole Assassin's Jerry Springer video, first off, it was under the auspices of Be My Baby Donor.
Really?
Jerry Springer had gotten to the point where his show, never really a bastion of class and comedy or anything, was just showing stripper routines. That was the show. This was on like middle of the day. They just were showing a stripper.
One of my college buddies got an internship with Springer and he turned it down and I haven't forget. I don't think I've talked to him since. I know. It's a shame. I would have taken that internship in college. And are you kidding me? Perfect. What a resume builder.
Isn't Jerry Springer from Cincinnati?
Yes, he is. Six degrees of separation
all right,
here.
ESPN, the whole if you got show, a sense of humor.
Look, everything comes back to Cincinnati.
We've got your guest picker for game day on Saturday. All right? Forget Nick Lachey. Sure, it should probably be Oscar Robertson. No. Bring back the spring dog.
There you go. Like a spring dog. 7:30 p.m. in Ames, by the way, though. The after 4,000 Busch Lights, Cyclones will be ready with their monkey stuff.
So this is transitioning well. Jerry Springer once was running for governor of Ohio. He was a councilman in Cincinnati. He had his big campaign scandal was that he visited a prostitute and then paid with personal check.
That's right. That's right.
And got caught back in 1982.
Oh, my gosh.
Which brings us to Oxford, Mississippi.
Nice transition.
I mean, I'm just reading the news here.
What a pro.
Just reading the news. The show goes where it goes. I'm not controlling. The only, it was a $25 check, too. It was just $25. I mean, you get a personal check.
Wow.
Almost as dumb as using your university phone to call escorts on the you found on the internet while recruiting in those cities. Why did Hugh Freeze recruit the Tampa area so much when he was at Ole Miss? Was it the great talent there?
A different pole assassin down there.
How good should the signs be this weekend for Hugh Freeze returning to Ole Miss, where he was fired for visiting prostitutes? And then the entire backstory of how he got caught is phenomenal. But, Pat, how good should these signs be?
Yeah, here's the problem.
Or should they forgive? I don't know.
Well, you're also clowning yourself if you're doing that at Ole Miss, because he was your coach at the time. And so it's a little bit of a tightrope. You're kind of threading a needle there. We want to mock the coach that we loved and that we were mad, actually, that people were mad that he got fired, that he got ran out of town. So I don't know how the Ole Miss fans are going to play that one. I would lean more towards the dental chair sort of jokes, I think, if I were those fans than the other stuff.
More dental chair. Pete, should they mock him or
wonder,
what?
I don't know if I have a good window into the soul of the Ole Miss fan, other than to know they sort of just are perpetually aggrieved. But I would say that I would think there'd be some anger towards Hugh Freeze, because he ended up being sort of a disingenuous drifter, to use one of Pat Forty's famous whole phrases, right? Like,
there you go.
He rolled into town like the Music Man, sold you vision, and the emperor had no clothes, nor did many of the people he was calling. So, at least in the ads on the internet. So I just feel like, and then, you know, that you had to sputter through the Matt Luke era. I mean, think about this. They had A.J. Brown at one receiver, D.K. Metcalf at another receiver, and their roster was so hamstrung from the sins of Hugh Freeze that they couldn't do anything with it. That's insane. Those guys are freakazoids. The fact that they were on the same college team is mind-bending. And they were completely benign and uninteresting and irrelevant when they were there.
This is really one of the great scandals in college sports history, not just because it involved like 20 different phone calls to 20 different prostitutes, okay, on the company issued phone, but the whole genesis. Okay, Hugh Freeze, this is how it started. Hugh Freeze got caught cheating at Ole Miss. They violated NCAA rules. The NCAA came in with their notice of allegations and what they were investigating. And it was only a couple weeks before National Signing Day in 2016.
It was actually a couple of days before.
Okay.
We reported the story at Yahoo. I believe we reported it on a Friday, and signing day was Wednesday, I want to say. Okay.
So the notice of allegations had Hugh Freeze committing all these violations. Ole Miss didn't care. Didn't care that he committed all the violations. There was no movement to fire Hugh Freeze. But the rumors were out that they were going to get hammered by the NCAA. So Hugh Freeze and the athletic director, Ross Bjork, who's now at A&M. But those two at the time decided to preserve the recruiting class. They were going to leak to the media that this wasn't going to be a big deal. Ole Miss wasn't going to get in trouble. And most of the violations occurred not by Hugh Freeze, but by previous coach Houston Nutt. And that was patently demonstrably wrong. Hugh Freeze was willing to tell every player on his team lies and say, stay, don't transfer. This isn't going to be a big deal. It's not on me. It's on Houston Nutt. He was willing to look every recruit in the eye, every recruit's parent, every recruit's coach, and lie and say, stay with us. It's not on me. It's all on Houston Nutt. They cheat. Then they lie, and no one at Ole Miss cares. Perfectly good. Their boss is in on it. We're great. Fine. Cheat, lie. Okay, that's college sports, right? We don't care. Now, the problem was Houston Nutt is reading stories saying it's all on him. And he says, hell no, I didn't do it. Everyone's calling me a cheater now. It's Hugh Freeze. It wasn't on me. I don't know. So he hires Tom Mars, who is a hard-driving attorney out of Arkansas. And Tom Mars wages war on Ole Miss, gets all of the phone records of Hugh Freeze, and they sue. And instead of Ole Miss just giving an apology, saying, sorry, we were wrong, because eventually the notice of allegation comes out, it's proven they're all wrong. But by that point, these kids are all tricked into signing that they lied to. Thomas Mars, they're looking for an apology for Houston Nutt. He doesn't get one. Ole Miss digs in. They go through all the phone records. They find 20-something calls to prostitutes. They drop that on Ole Miss. And now Ole Miss says, you're fired. The prostitutes are the problem. The lying, the cheating, the deception, the sheer unbelievable depravity. I mean, you know what kind of a dirtbag you have to be to stare at a parent and her kid and go, no, that's not what, just straight lie to their face that I didn't do it. Like yeah. that. I'm going to yeah, trick
not,
you into
coming.
We're
not going to get bad sanctions for this. We're not going to get sanctions.
No, right? no, they I didn't know.
With
the
a
other
two-year
guy.
Postseason ban.
Like, yeah, it's a dirtbag move. It's a straight dirtbag move. You lied to everyone. You tricked people into staying at Ole Miss. Nobody at Ole Miss cared. That's the school. But the prostitute. There has never been a story that perfectly encapsulates the ethics of NCAA college football, college basketball, than this story. Because I'm not saying Ole Miss is the only one who would have done this. Right. They did do it. And Hugh Freeze should be ashamed of himself for lying to all those kids and their moms and their dads. But he isn't. He doesn't care. But this is what college sports is. There are no, if you are winning, you can cheat and lie and deceive and all of that. Oh, no, the prostitute. Gotta go.
That's the story. Just laid it right out there. And it did. That was the occasion that launched Tom Mars into the college athletic space. And woo, he's a bad guy to be on the wrong side of, yeah. including as he kept pounding them and pounding them and pounding them. He would text me like a link to some new revelation they had exposed about something. And he would just say, they should have just apologized. Every single time. He just kept saying that. Yeah.
All Houston Nutt wanted was an apology and something so that he could get his reputation back. And be able to coach again or just be able to just be and say, yeah, you didn't do all the violations Hugh did. And they wouldn't do it.
The video of the monkey situation, bad PR. But what out Mississippi did, maybe worse PR.
I don't even think it's PR.
They all moved on.
That's just like administrative malfeasance. Like that's just like there's a PR decision. Then there's just a general absence of common sense.
This is a dirtbag. Well, absence everyone's still working.
Yeah.
Hugh's got a job. Ross working. Got a job. Everyone at Houston.
Got a better job. Yeah.
Future Conference USA champion Hugh Freeze. The beat goes on.
Yeah, it goes right on. Nobody cares. Promote him. That's a great way. You got caught cheating, and then you covered it up, and you lied to everybody. Hey, let's get you a new job. College sports people.
Hugh's frustrated that he hadn't gotten a new job since he got to Liberty.
Yeah. If you want to know why I'm a little cynical about this sport. That's what happened. They couldn't apologize to a guy that they slandered. And you know what? They got caught with the hookers. So it happened. All
hopefully
right.
A good emotional support animal could use some of that cynicism, Dan.
I think that makes sense now why you would need an emotional support one.
We're going to, maybe the rest of the pod here, we should chip in and get Dan like an emotional support turtle or something.
What kind of animal would give Dan good emotional support?
See, something super low maintenance that he can just maybe look at and chuckle at every once in a while.
I have
fish,
a support
fish
group.
Are not it's, good. Fish are not
I have
good.
A support group. It's called a six pack. solves all problems, creates many. All right. Washington coach Jimmy Lake was asked about their play in Oregon. Asked about the big recruiting battles between Washington and Oregon, and he went this. This is kind of like you said earlier, like, this is a classic move when you know you're finished as a coach. This is not a move of strength. It's like vote of confidence or whatever. He went with the superior academics of Washington over Oregon. That is way more pumped up than it is. Our battles are really the schools we go against have academic prowess, like the University of Washington, Notre Dame, Stanford, USC. We go with a lot of battles, toe-to-toe, all the way to the end with those schools. So I think that's made up and pumped up in the media's world. In our world, we battle more academically prowess teams.
Yeah, there was not a lot of academic prowess at the end of that statement either there, you know, from Coach Lake. It's not the best worded.
Not the best. So maybe you should, like, what?
So I would just question Jimmy Lake's football prowess. He hired John Donovan as offensive coordinator, which from 80 million miles away was one of the worst coordinator hires that I've ever witnessed and first guessed all the way. Now, he did win the North last year at 3-1, I believe, but it's just completely and spectacularly backfired to the point where your sputtering program should not be taking any kind of higher ground. You should be locked and loaded on trying to fix that mess, Jimmy.
Oh, yeah. No, this was, to Dan's point, when you can't brag about winning on the field, you gotta deflect it elsewhere, and that's where it becomes, well, you may be kicking our ass, but we have more class than you. And so that's yeah, where this or comes our, down.
Our academics, like, really? Right. Like, you yeah. can't get the maybe you should try recruiting against the teams that are kicking your ass.
Yeah.
Don't worry with Stanford.
This, I will say, this has been a long, ongoing Washington looking down its nose at Oregon academically sort of thing. I mean, I remember back when Sarkisian was at Washington and Chip Kelly was at Oregon, and there was some of this. I'm not sure it came from the coaches per se, but I remember some tut-tutting at Oregon being a lesser academic school back then, you know, 7, 8, 9 years ago. And so this is, he's playing the hits and he's playing to the base because he's got nothing else to sell at this point. Right. His team stinks.
Does this even work
offensively?
Does this work with the base?
I don't know.
Oregon president Michael Schill responded, UW has a wonderful school, is a wonderful school with a great football history. I have great respect and affection for its president, its academic and football program, and its former exceptional football coach, Coach Peterson. Don't mention that, Jimmy Lake.
I thought that was a pretty good shiv to the ribs right back.
Not bad. Not bad.
How do you think Stanford coach David Shaw reacted reading Washington looking down at Oregon because of the academic prowess? Do you think that was the only more fruitless academic snobbery statement came from Harbaugh when he was at Stanford, looking down at Michigan's academics before he eventually went and took the Michigan job? That was an all-timer.
It was, where he said, yeah, I couldn't get him in. That was big. And that almost blocked him from getting the Michigan job because the Michigan people were so upset.
Right.
I don't know. All right. Also in weird comments and recruiting, Dan Mullen kind of flubbed a question, I would say. He didn't want to talk about recruiting during the season. That's what he was trying to do, but it's extended this narrative that he's not good at recruiting, that Florida doesn't have good enough players, and they're getting hammered by Georgia and everyone else. We keep discussing this. I think it's more, and then they canceled availability. I think the question more I have is this just a good fit? Is Mullen a good fit at a program the size of Florida or not? Like, can he? I don't know. I disagree with the narrative that he doesn't have any good players because they do have good players. Could they be better? Yes, but nobody's recruiting as well as Georgia right now. Clemson's not. Alabama isn't even really. So that's not really a fair comparison. But Mullen clearly is in an oddball space here. He's getting a lot of heat from there's at least a lot of negative chatter around him, whether it matters or not. Pete, what do you think?
I have an idea. I'm going to propose a trade. This is going to be my trade. I'm going to propose that Florida trades Dan Mullen to Penn State for James Franklin. I think both guys need a fresh start. James Franklin, 8 years in, a lot of those little battles are wearing on him. He's wearing on the fans are wearing on him. He's a very good coach with a very good track record who could go energize Florida's current weakness, which obviously is recruiting. Look what he did at Vanderbilt. He was a ninja at Vanderbilt on the recruiting trail especially. And then Dan Mullen could go to the Big Ten. He's from New Hampshire. He went to college in Pennsylvania. And he could give that place a potential foil to Ohio State, Michigan State now, Michigan. And I think he would be a very good Big Ten coach. He certainly has a level of offensive acumen, the ability to recruit higher-end quarterbacks. Dan Mullen is a very good college football head coach. There's a lot of good there. He pulled off one of the five best coaching jobs of my tenure, you know, 20 years covering college sports with what he did at Mississippi State. He is a great play caller. He's a very good evaluator and one of the three best developers of quarterbacks that I've been around. So I just think both guys might need a new setting. Seems like Gator Nation is down on Dan. Seems like James is kind of
time. Trade. Can this happen?
Coaching trade.
What do we think of the trade? Is the trade? I think the trade would work.
Oh, I like.
Can we trade? Can you trade?
Yes, we can do it. On the podcast, we can do it.
A trade.
Yeah, a coaching trade. I like it. I mean, I think your reasoning's sound. I think both guys probably would do better somewhere other than where they are right now, and those would be good spots for them. I like that. But since it's probably not going to happen, we're probably not going to have a trade.
I want the trade.
Come on.
My suggestion is for Dan Mullen to put on his big boy britches and take it. You know what? You're 4-4. What do you expect? You're 4-4. You're getting paid $6.7 million or whatever in the SEC. Do you want flowers, you know, and balloons from people? It's not going to happen. So here's the deal. You suck it up in your press conference and you answer the dumb recruiting questions. And here's the thing. It wasn't just, you know, we'll talk about recruiting at the end of the year, which is not in itself a terrible answer, but it was dismissive. And at the very end is next question, you know, and then you start getting a little high and mighty, a little uptighty there when you're getting your butt kicked and you maybe better hang in the pocket and take it a little bit better than that. And then you cancel the media availability. And while people don't care about media battles, it's an indication he's not taking this adversity as well as I think he should and could.
All right, pretty interesting. Now, this is where you start thinking sometimes that, like, Pat Fitzgerald's got it all figured out. He stays at a school where he's appreciated, and if they have a down year, they have a down year, and they come back. Gary Patterson was that guy for a long time.
Woo!
Yeah. TCU. TCU isn't in the Big 12 without Gary Patterson. TCU isn't the school it is without Gary. Gary Patterson's one of the most influential people at the school to ever happen. And a phenomenal football coach. For a long time, you could... If you were naming five best coaches in the country, you're going to have a hard time not having Gary Patterson in there. This is a great coach. TCU, he's obviously been, they have not been as good the last few years. Boosters are done. They wouldn't even let him finish the year. And he is out after, what was it, 22 seasons or something. I mean, he's basically created TCU football, but he's gone. Didn't win enough. So he ain't safe anywhere because he should have had a lot of credibility there. You know, my question is, should Gary Patterson coach again? You know, I read a story that he was in the office on Monday trying to help the transition because he had already designed the game plan for Baylor. He wants to coach. He wants to be a coach. Like, he's not sitting there bitter at TCU. He's trying to help his players. There's a guy who actually cares. I wonder if someone else should try to hire Gary Patterson, because I don't know that this guy didn't have a Mac Brown level, like, he ain't done. If he's not done, this is a great football coach. Pat, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, and I think he's burned and angry and wants to coach again. Now, maybe that wears off after the hurt of this, but as of now, I think he does. He's 61 years old in coaching years. It's not ancient. You want a trade? How about a Metroplex trade? If people want Sonny Dykes, if TCU really wants Sonny Dykes, then he could go to TCU and Gary Patterson go to SMU, although – Gary Patterson has burned a few bridges in that state, then the SMU bridge might be one. Yeah, maybe.
What about Tech? Tech?
Tech, absolutely. Texas Tech, sure. You know, this is the thing, and I wrote, actually, the entire state of Texas has lost its freaking mind. I mean, everyone in that state, all 12 of the FBS schools in the state, they have. All 12 of the FBS schools in 2021 have either realigned, fired a coach, could have their coach poached, become an orphan like UTEP if they end up with no conference, or given a 10-year, $90 million contract to a guy who almost made the playoff. That's what the state of Texas has done.
UTEP is a victim. They're a victim. They're a victim here.
Okay. UTEP's the only place that hadn't lost its mind, and Baylor and SMU haven't lost their mind, but they're going to get their coaches poached, perhaps. Anyway, to the point, it is a shame and a absolute commentary on what college football has become that Gary Patterson and TCU end up on the outs like this with each other. It should not end this way. You need to figure this out, TCU, and to have done this in a much better way than to have Gary Patterson storming out and saying, I'm not coaching the rest of the year when you try to move him out of there. You wait until the end of the year if you need to do it. You don't do it with a month left and expect Gary Patterson just to go along and get along, because that's not who he is and not who he's ever been. To do this to a guy who has a statue outside of the stadium, I don't think I've seen that before, over wins and losses. This isn't a Joe Paterno situation or something like that. But when a guy with a statue gets trapdoored like this, it's bad. And that's just kind of where college football is these days. I mean, we didn't really understand a lot of the firings that have happened, but this one is right up there with them in 2021.
See, Pat, I think you're missing the point, and the point is the petty. And what really is fascinating to me about this TCU situation is they really fired him because they were worried about losing Sonny Dykes to Texas Tech. And that is just a fantastic level of Texas football petty that should not be overlooked. Okay, you are the single reason we have this stadium built. We are in this league. We are making $30-something million a year off football. We are a much more nationally vibrant and relevant university. That's all nice, Gary. But your losing and your presence is scaring off the guy we really want as coach. So sorry, man. Hit the road. We got to clear out space and invite Sonny over. And hey, Sonny, stay in the Metroplex. You can live in Highland Park for a while. It's good, man. Oh, Gary. Yeah, Gary, he'll be out of here soon. So I actually love, like, in the lexicon of Texas petty and crazy, that is like a pretty ninja move by TCU. So I can only just respect it.
Well, it is all those things. There's no doubt that I think that they felt pressure to go get this done so they could go after Sonny Dykes. And as I said in the column, at least they didn't Auburn the situation and just go completely behind Patterson's back. They did tell him they want him out. But are we convinced Sonny Dykes is worth all this? I mean, so we've turned Sonny Dykes now into a Big 12, like, bidding war battle. Somebody's going to have to convince me that he is worth the effort here.
Everybody's firing their coach to try to get him.
Let me ask this. So just hypothetically, if Jimbo Fisher left A&M for LSU, who would be the top candidate?
I don't know. Are you saying Sonny Dykes would be?
I mean, I'm not I would think he would be.
Was it the 19-30 record that he had at California that would dazzle Texas A&M? Is that it? I mean, he did have one winning season, so I guess that
has picked up the mic to make this point.
Pat is so fired up, he's holding his mic.
We have decided that Sonny Dykes is just, you got to just throw everything out the window to get him. Okay. All right.
Including Gary freaking Patterson.
Yeah.
Your legendary guy.
Like, yeah. You got to throw him out with yesterday's bacon grease and, so that you can go get Sonny Dykes.
Same thing as last week. TCU's administration just spit in the face of all their players.
Sure.
Like, again, like, just no respect for the players. Zero. F you. We don't care that you have Baylor, who's your big rival. They take that Methodist Baptist thing going, or Christian, whatever they're, I don't know the things, but whatever they do, they get into it, man. I've seen that game a couple times. Yeah. We don't care. We're going to fire him because we get an edge. Like, you, these administrations just keep screwing the players over. This is the second Big 12 team. We lost to Kansas State. What's so bad about losing to Kansas State? Now, two straight coaches got fired for losing to Kansas State. Talk about it. K-State's got to be like, man, we ain't that ugly, man. Come on.
Wasn't there an old thing in the SEC where if you lost to Mississippi State, you got croomed? Do you remember that?
Croomed, yeah. Sylvester Croom got like three guys. Now in the Big 12, you've been climbing. He's gotten two guys in a row.
Nobody cares. No. Again, want to know why I'm cynic? Here you go. Right. Hey, got a third of your season left. We don't care. Family around here. Yeah. You're going to sing the fight song, we tell you.
If it says it on a sticker in the wall in the facility, it has to be true, Dan.
Yeah, it has to be true. Real good family you got. All right. That is our pod. I don't even know what we were supposed to get to, but that's where we went. Just going to let it go, wherever it led us. We'll be back later in the week with the race for the case, and we will talk about all of the games coming up. And so tune in then. Continue to subscribe and support us. Appreciate all of the listeners and all the people listening and all the tweets. Thank you very much. Talk to you later.